That's only a one thumbs up from my wife. I don't know if that's good or not. Oh, glory. Thank you, Father. So here we are. Is this like the first Sunday of the year, isn't it? It's like this four-day holiday thing is really kind of a between and betwixt. I kind of like it, but it kind of gets elongated to where you forget where you're at, you know? It's like, is this like Tuesday already or Wednesday? No, it's just Sunday. But it's been a good holiday time, good Christmas, good New Year's. And yeah, it's good. It is good. It's what you focus on. It's what you pay attention to. You can pay attention to the negative and you'll be negative. You can focus on the things of the positive and you will, guess what, be positive. And so I desire to focus on those things. I desire to focus on my God and his love for me. And I want him to see my love for him. And so that we will have a good journey this year. And I can't wait to get into the work of what he has planned. Amen. And exciting that he's got it planned for all of us. So today what I want to look at, are you a crackpot? Anybody here a crackpot? Oh, that'll fill the church up, won't it? Increase body your numbers by this message. I want to speak to the crackpots in here today. Because God's word speaks about that. You may call it cisterns, but it's a place for storing water. And so what I want to look at is, basically I started out with this, is your cistern cracked? Cistern. But then I thought, nah, I want to say, are you a crackpot? That's in parentheses. And I started that by, in John, the lady at the well and Jesus speaking to her about the living water, and you ask for this water, why do you ask for this when you will thirst again? What I've got, you will never. So we'll get there, I believe. But what that did, and I find the things that when I begin to get into God and his verses and his word, I guess I should say, it's interesting to, I start here, whatever, and it's really interesting, and then you start looking, and he takes me back. And so now we're back in the Old Testament in Jeremiah. Quickly. We'll touch base in the Old Testament just a couple of places or a few places. And then we'll get into the New Testament. But it talked in Jeremiah 2:13. Now, in Jeremiah 2:13, we find out that God is going against Israel again. Because why? Because Israel went against God. God brought them out and did tremendous things and did all the wonderful things for them. And they did what again? Turn their backs on him. And this is a message of even today, because I see people in our churches, and I could be one of them myself if I don't pay attention, okay? Again, I'm speaking to my message is for Tim, that I could become so confident or so whatever, oblivious, I guess, to the blessings of God that I begin to look at other things that are in my path of vision, and I begin to focus on them. And this crazy thing is, it's the blessings that he gives us, sometimes we could turn those into our gods rather than remembering that they're blessings from him and that we've got to keep them in perspective to say that if it weren't for him, I wouldn't have this. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have the house. I wouldn't have a car. I wouldn't have this, whatever it is. But I got to be careful that I don't take those things and put them again before him. And we find that in the Old Testament. The Israelites were like that. I mean, they saw God's blessings and his manifold presence and his provisions, on and on. And then all of a sudden they got set in what they were comfortable with and they began to look at other things and turned other things into idols. And so this is where this is coming out, where in Jeremiah 2 it talks about God's case against Israel. Ooh, does God have a case against you? You know, we always think of like, is there enough of God in you that you are enough being a Christian that they could find you guilty in a court of law that you are a Christian because of all of this evidence? But how about this? If God's case against you was like that of Israel at this time. And it goes on and it starts off and it says, I remember you. It says, moreover, the words of the Lord came to me saying, 2:1, go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem saying, thus says the Lord. So take this as today, thus saith the Lord to you. Thus saith the Lord to Tim today. I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love betrothed, when you went after me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. Israel was holiness to the Lord. And it goes on, the first fruits of his increase, all that devour will offend, disaster will come upon them, says the Lord. He's given it a warning. Jeremiah has given this warning out to the people. And hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house. Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me? They have gone far from me. Verse 5. They have gone far from me. They have followed idols, and they have become idolaters. And you can just go through this. And this is really showing the falling away, or what the Israelites were doing. They're, God is, thus saith the Lord to these people. Through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt. This is verse the end of verse 6. And you just go on. Verse 7, I brought you into a bountiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priest did not say, where is the Lord? And those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. This is Jeremiah 2, verses 8 is speaking of this, where the prophets prophesied by Baal and they walked after things that do not profit. There is so much wrapped into this that we could look at into today. Of what are we following after that does not profit? It has no bearing on you at all. It might be for a short time. It might be very temporal, and we're going to get into some of those things, I believe. And then it goes on in verse 9, Therefore I will yet bring charges against you, says the Lord, and against your children's children I will bring charges. For pass beyond the coast of Cyprus, and it goes on, and it goes into 11, has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods, but my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord. And this is verse 13, is where really I got to and really hit me. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So I'm looking at Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken, the Amplified would say, they have abandoned me. The Century New Version will say, or the Contemporary English Version, I think, says this, that they have turned away from me, the fountain of living water. People have abandoned God. They have turned away from him. And we find that same thing happening in our todays of people turning away from him, abandoning him as their God, just like that of the children of Israel, because a lot of times it's because of what we focus on, what we look at, what we pay attention to. And they've hewn themselves cisterns. This would say they dug themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. Now, a cistern is an artificial reservoir for storing liquids, especially water, like rainwater and things like that. We still have them today, cisterns, to where, you know, the water hits the roof, goes in the gutter into a barrel, and here's your kind of like a cistern. You can use this water for watering your garden and whatnot. In the natural, who would fill a cracked cistern with water? Why would you do that? Have you ever tried to do that? If you got a cracked flower pot, do you keep putting water in it and wondering why does the water keep coming out? Well, it's cracked. You're going to have a mess. A cracked cistern. If we're a cracked cistern, we're going to have a mess. So why would we do that if we know that it leaks out? The thought behind the scripture is this. God is telling the Israelites that they are doing what the very thing when they turned from him. The fountain of the living water. God, even back then, is telling his people, I am the fountain of living water. And we're going to find more of that into the New Testament. They turned to worship idols. The cisterns that they chose were broken, and they were empty. God was pouring himself into these people, and yet it was going out because they were a broken cistern. They weren't holding his water in. They were cracked. The world around them had cracked them. Now, we look at this as, what is our broken cistern? They had built religious systems in which to store truth, but those systems were worthless. And why were they worthless? If we hold on to cisterns that are broken and empty, they do not compare to that of what God has for us. If we hold on to these broken vessels, if we are a broken vessel, and this is where we kind of get into that, if we are a vessel of that of God, and we ask God to pour yourself into us, oh, pour in more of the Holy Spirit into us. Now granted, as we are serving Him and as the Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us, we pour out the praise to Him, but we pour out God's abilities to those around us, to show them what our God is capable of and what He will do for them as well. And then we go back and we say, hey, oh, fill me again, Lord. Fill me again. Fill this cup to overflowing so that we can go out and serve. But there's another thing to where if He's pouring in, but we're cracked, we got cracked cisterns, we're a cracked pot, and what comes into us, it's no value. It's lost. How much more do you think God's going to keep pouring in to a lost vessel that's not doing what He's asked them to do, that He's prepared them, He's given them the tools, He's given them the knowledge, He's given them the ability, He's even helping with their faith and things of that nature when it needs to, when we cry out, oh, help me, Lord, with my faith. And we cry out to Him, and we expect Him to pour into us, but why would He pour into somebody that's cracked? And He'll do that a lot of times because of His grace and mercy, and maybe He'll put some stop leak in it too. You know, got a hole in your radiator somewhere, you don't know where it's at, put this stuff in, it'll clog, it'll plug a hole, you know. Maybe we need to pray that today, Lord. Oh, Lord, for 2021, I'm sorry that I've been a cracked pot. Would You pour in some stop leak in me right now? Boom! So that what He pours into me will be beneficial. It will help me so that I can help others. And that's the whole thing about this, is whatever God is pouring into you, it's for you, but it's for others as well. It's for you to be that example. It's for you to be out and about being the ministry, proclaiming the Word of God. Amen? So, they built religious systems in which to store the truth, but those systems, they were worthless. Thank You, Lord. What is that cistern? Now, last week, when I came across this in a footnote in my Bible, it went back to last week, I shared, what is your master? And I had taken that out of Matthew 6:24, about you cannot serve God and riches. And we hear of that about, you know, you cannot serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon is looked at as money. But last week, I broke it open a little bit more, because it could be not just money. And I said this, it could be riches, yes, it could be money. But what about possessions? What about your fame? What about your status? Whatever you value more than that of God, it really becomes your mammon. It becomes your idol. So when I got into this, it says, well, these cisterns could be looked at as money, power, religious systems, or whatever transitory, which would be a brief, temporary, passing away, fleeting, short-lived, okay, or whatever is transitory thing that we are putting in place of God. So we got to understand, guys, that what are you putting before God, and whatever it is, it's not going to last like God. It's transitory. It's temporal. It's going to be gone like that, you know. What, here today, gone tomorrow, you know, whatever that case might be. What are you putting in place of God? Why will we do such a thing when we have a God that promises to fill us to overflowing, to fill us with living water? We've got this great promise of God back even in the Old Testament, and how He helped the children of Israel, and how He came through for them in so many times, in so many ways. But we also have the other flip side of that, and we saw how many times they turned away from Him. And then He finally said, ah, the children, your parents, the adults, they're not going to see the promised land. I hope and want for 2021 that you see the promised land. Not that we're going to, well, unless we were called home to glory, hallelujah, you know, or He comes back as the second returning of Christ, glory, hallelujah. But I believe that we can have our promised land even upon this earth, even living in this time and day and age that we live in, even with all the craziness, all the wackiness, all the COVID, all the health, all the crazy things that are going on. Believe it or not, I'm walking in a promised land because I am not of the kingdom of this world. I am here representing His kingdom here on earth. And I believe, don't you believe, that wherever we are, being that of kingdom kids, being that of the church, the body, us, that we are children of God, that you do not believe that He's not going to take care of you and work through you and protect you and grant to you things and take this and do that. I believe that. But then when it's all said and done, if something were to happen and you catch a plague of some sort and you die, what have you lost? Nothing. You've just gone to your home of eternity, your heavenly reward. And that's why we get this thought process that the world has an understanding that's hard to understand because they think we're crazy. But it's like, you know, whether I live here, I'm blessed, and if I die, I'm blessed. I'll do all I can and speak all I can for that of God and the glory of God and the promises of God and the love of God and the strength of God and the victory of God and the joy of God and the peace of God and the hope of God to those around me here upon this earth because I believe it and I've experienced it. When you experience something, you're more apt to be a believer. Amen. And once you believe in something, it's not hard for you to proclaim something. So once we have believed it, we've walked it, we have felt it, we have learned it, we have grown in it, it's easy to proclaim it. They might poo-hoo you and say, I don't understand that. I don't think you've got all eight cylinders working or something like that. And it's okay. Why is that? Because I know what I know that I know. And then I know that greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world, because that out in the world is going to try to bring disclaimer to the joy and the love and the peace and the hope and all of these things that I've got in God when I try to share it to those out in the world that are lost. And the enemy of this world, the god of this world, Satan, is doing all that he can do to sidetrack and take away from the glory of God. Now the thing is that we've got to pay attention to, he's not doing it with the lost out there. He is doing it through that of the saved or that of the Christian or that of the follower of Christ to try to destroy what they have in hopes of the glory of what he says so that then you go out discouraged, beaten down, and then people in the world look at that and say, well, that's the kind of God you serve. Well, it didn't do you any good. And so we as the church have to be on guard, maybe even more so in 2021, that these things that the devil, the god of this world, is going to try to bring upon the church, God's vessels in this time, so that to destroy what we're sharing, to try to bring a disclaimer to the things of what God stands for. And everything that he stands for, everything that I have, the world can have as well. There's no pick and choose as who gets what. Freely given, salvation, freely given. Sins washed by his blood, freely cleansed. The things that he has are freely given. His breath in my lungs so that I can cry out the glory of God, the praises of God, the love of God. And the enemy of this past year has quenched that as best as he can, but it hasn't worked all the way of quenching the breath of the church. Don't have church. Oh, you can have church, but don't sing. Oh, okay. That's like going to a car wash, but don't turn the water on. What happens? You go through the car wash, you come out, you go in dirty, you come out dirty. But I went through the car wash. So it's all these crazy things that the world has tried to do, and God, the devil working through man, because I've said this before, God works through man to get his things accomplished. The devil works through man to get his things accomplished. And the devil's working through a lot of strong politicians and people of leadership that can make these blatant cross-the-board things with no thought or rhyme or reason. And you know it's that way when they say that you can't go to church But then they hop on a plane and they go to, you know, Jamaica without a mask. It's like, wait, this governor or this mayor or this official or this representative of my country that says, Tim, don't do this. Then it comes out that I hear 2 days later, they're on the beach with no mask with 50 people around them. Like, it's crazy. But we have to be wise. We need to open our eyes to these things. And I'm not saying going against it and things of that nature, but use wisdom and understand. But understand that there is a force that is being out here that is taking and trying to take the breath of God out of our lungs. Because God loves the praises of His people. And if I or you knew that I love something that you would do or give me, and you would stop doing that, it would make me feel like, well, don't they like me anymore? You know? Man, it's like getting back on that song and last night and listening to it again. It's His breath in my lungs. His breath in my lungs has to proclaim what He's about. We, the church, have to proclaim what He's about. And it's going to be hard to proclaim those things that He's about if you're a cracked pot. If you are a cracked cistern, so when He pours in, it leaks out and leaches out, it's of no value. I pray that whatever God pours into me is beneficial to Him. And I will get the benefit of it as well, because God is a God like that. I don't understand how it works, but He's a blessing God. But, oh God, whatever You pour into me, Lord, let me pour it out to bless those around me so that I can receive more from You, because I'm being blessed by You to be a blessing to others. Oh, that's exciting. But Satan doesn't want that. He wants you to be stuck upon your own woes and concerns and dooms and glooms and all of these things. He wants you to pay attention to the things in the news and all the craziness and all of the global warming. Is it global warming? Are we going to cut down and just have, you know, bicycles and do away with cars? Are we going to do with all, you know, all this stuff that's out there? And if we focus and take our attention upon those things, we're missing the focus and the attention upon Him. Transitory. We put our things into things that are temporary, passing away. They're a fleeting thing. They're short-lived. But what God has for us is long-lived. See, what God has for us, He would call it for eternity. And when does eternity end? Never. The things of this earth will grow strangely dim, you know. We will end our times here upon this earth as what we know it in the flesh. But our spirit will be rejoicing and, oh, hallelujah, you know. There could be a time to where we might say, oh, why did You wait so long, Lord? No, it's because He took whatever. Even though we don't understand these things, I know it's very hurtful and sorrowful for people to pass on, and young or old, we always think there's got to be a magic age that's okay to die at that particular age. But I'm going to tell you, be at that age and you're probably going to be sorrowful, you know, whether it be a parent or a friend or a sibling. Or we are told that we can draw water. See, we can draw that from Him, but you got to have Him. You can't draw from something that you don't have. If you've got a relationship with Him, then you can draw things from Him. What we can look at as a thought process, as long as I deposit things into a bank, into a savings or whatever, into checking, I can always draw out what I put in. But if I don't put things in, eventually it runs dry. It's almost like it's a cracked cistern. The money's going out, but there's nothing coming in. It's a crazy analogy, and it just hit me, but as far as trying to put what I put in is what I can get out. So as I put more of God in my life, I can pull more God out of my life. As I gain His strength, then I have His strength when I need to pull on it. When I have His joy, when I'm in a sad or a serious time or a time that's just whatever, there could be a joy that I can pull on. So what is God depositing in you? And are you allowing him to deposit those things in you? Are you drawing those things out of God? We got to draw those things from God. God is saying, I have all of this for my people, but you got to come and ask for it. Like that of salvation. He would desire that none should perish. But you got to ask. You got to receive. You got to go to him. You got to make a point of asking, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, come into my heart. Floods of joy. When Jesus comes into my heart. We have to ask. We got to ask for that. We got to repent, forgive our sins, be cleansed by the blood. We need to ask. God is not up there with a bucket of blood to wash our sin, wash our sins, and just dumping it over the whole earth and saying, now the whole earth is cleansed of sin. It's an individual, one by one, coming to meet Jesus. In a relationship building, growing, and understanding what that's all about. Of why he died on the cross just for you. Why he came as a babe in the manger just for you. But we all have a benefit of that. And so as we get into this time and where we're at with God, we've got to be able to draw things from him. And it says this in Isaiah 12:3, therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Therefore, with joy. I'm going to tell you, anytime you come out of the world into the relationship with that of Christ or with that of God, you don't come to him with sadness and doom and gloom. You don't go and come away from the altar going, oh great, I just got salvation. Oh great, I'm a new person. Oh yeah, yeah. No, you come around and you come up here with heavy laden, burdened with sin and load of despair. You surrender your life to God. You feel that weight come off of you. You turn around and you're saying, glory to God. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. I'm 35 years old and I'm a new person. But they come up here, heavy laden, drawn down, the weight of the world upon them, whatever the past, their sin, their things, just everything, and they receive Christ. And the instant they receive Christ and accept him into their life, and they've asked him and invited him in, that weight is released. They're a new creation. And oh, the joy that floods their soul. Something that they don't understand. But they've got it. Something that after a while they wish they would have done it sooner. But at least they did it, you know. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. It's what it's all about, salvation. Jesus came and did miraculous things. And we all are benefactors of that. But the ultimate thing that he came to do was to save us from going to hell and to reconcile us back to that of God so that we, when we die, go to glory. Amen. Therefore, with joy you will draw, so we can draw that. How about this? In the New Living, it says this, the same Isaiah 12:3, with joy you will drink deeply. Anybody ever drink deeply? Wow. You know, there's times when you sip a little bit, but when something is good, you just drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. Contemporary English says this, along that same line, with great joy, you people will get water from the well of victory. Same thing. Isaiah 12:3, just a little difference in verbiages of what they're sharing here. Remember it said in the New King James, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Good, contemporary English, with great joy you people will get water from the well of victory. See, when you have salvation, you have victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me into victory beneath the cleansing blood. Yeah, victory. You are walking in victory in 2021. you were walking in victory in 2020, 2019, 2018. But you got to recall that. You got to call that to your remembrance and understand that all things are breaking loose around me, but I am walking in victory. Hallelujah. And then the good news, as fresh water brings joy to the thirsty. Anybody been really thirsty on a hot summer day? You're parched. Your mouth is spitting cotton. And you go in and you have a cool tap of water and, oh, it feels so good. Have you ever got to where you're so parched that you go in and you drink that, and it's not cold, cold water, because you get what they call that, like a freeze brain or brain freeze. Yeah, something. Sorry, I had my words out of joint there. But I know something happened to your brain. It goes right here. It hits right in the center of your head. It's like, but have you ever taken it where you're really, really dry inside because of being outside doing a lot of activity? And you take that. Have you ever felt the coolness go through your body? Ain't that cool? Think of that as how the Spirit would be. When you're distraught and having a hard time, you say, oh, Father, fill me with the Spirit. Fill me, Lord. Help me with strength and peace or whatever it is, Lord. I just need to feel your presence. Let him pour his water. Draw from him and just feel it go down through your body. It's like, ah. Because when I feel that, I go, I'm refreshed. You know, your internal organs, your lungs, everything's going, oh, finally, you're making us look like a raisin in here, you know? But it's kind of a cool feeling that you feel. Anyway, that's kind of a thought process there. You got to be careful. I come off with a lot of crazy thoughts, but it's just because it's the way I feel things, I guess, huh? But it's not just me. I know you felt it as well. Wells of salvation is a reference to that of the enjoyment of God's bountiful blessings through the anointed one of David's house. Amen. We are seeing in this chapter of Isaiah a hymn of praise. Here again, praising. The praise is due because of the people's joy when Jesus will come to reign over the earth. So even now, we should be expressing our gratitude to God, thanking him and praising him and glorifying him and telling others about him. Let me tell you about this person. Ooh, you need to know him. I think he'll help you. In Psalms 36:9, it talks about the fountain of life. All of this of refreshing, all of this of water pouring in us, all of these things of God, the well, the fountain, the river. We may get to John, probably not today. In Psalms 36:9, New King James, for with you is the fountain of life. With you is the fountain of life. Oh, Psalms 36:7, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. You give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. In your light, we see light. Reference that. Look at John 8:12, where it says, I am, and Jesus, one of the I ams, where he says, I am the light of the world. So, following Jesus, guess what? You're not going to be in darkness. Following Jesus, you're going to have the light to show and to shed upon your path so that you will never be in darkness. Isn't that awesome to know? The world would love for you to be in darkness. The God of this world, the devil, Satan, he wants his people, he wants the world to be in darkness. But the child of God, we shall not be in darkness, for I have the light of Christ in me, because it says, I am the light. Wow. And with that, I will never, me, be in darkness. It tells me that I should be able to identify and see, especially these things, and we're talking spiritual realms, things in the spiritual realm, to be able to see things coming at me, things that are surrounding me, things that are trying to hold me down, the schemes and the ways of the enemy coming around me, because the enemy only comes, what, in the dark. So if I've got the light of Christ in me, you need to turn it on high power. But if I am the light of Christ, and I believe it, do you believe you are the light of Christ? Do you have the light of Him in you? Then you should be able to expose anything that the enemy is trying to do to you. You should be able to identify it from a fairly good distance if you've got your light shining bright. Now, if it's a dim light, the enemy, it's going to get closer to you. But I think in our day and age that we live in, we need to be at the highest power of the light of Christ in us so that I can see the enemy or whatever the enemy has planned for me. You know, that stumbling, that valley, that hill, whatever, the pothole in the road or the path that I'm on, I need to be able to look far enough ahead to see that by that of the Spirit to be able to pray against it or to pray for God's protection against it or whatever it is at the time that I see it. And then I'm led to by that of the Spirit of the Holy Spirit in me to know what to ask for and to be aware of it. If we would have our light shining bright, if we would just keep our eyes focused on Him, if we keep our cistern solid and don't become cracked as He pours into the things of us, Him, then we are going to have all of the benefit of Him, all of the things of Him in us, for us, at the time we need it, when we need it. And do you believe you're going to need it in this day and age? Yes. Because it's a war going on out there. Somebody who doesn't want you to get into heaven. You know who that is. God is wanting you there. And there's a fight. And we've got to decide and we've got to keep ourselves aware and alert and always be alert, on call, like that of a sentry at the post of an army, you know, out in a battlefield, you know. You got to be alert to your surroundings. You got to see what's taking place and know what's out there. And to be aware when something is not right, that there's something happening. And I think that's the thing that as we talk about that, and I can see that we have got to be aware of our surroundings, and you've got to know where you're at. You have got to know where you're at. You've got to know where you're at with God, especially. And you've got to know where you're at that God has you at, and that we're always constantly surveying. And we're seeing if something is out of the ordinary. And if the glory of the Lord is blowing this way, and I see the bend of a bush this way, it tells me, could that be an enemy coming at me, you know? Is there something coming on my perimeter? And then you got to be alert. And so in the day and age that we live, we've got to be alert. We've got to be that light. We've got to be a solid vessel that God pours all of these things into so that we can be effective. If you don't take care of yourself with your health physically, who's going to do that? I don't know. If you don't take care of yourself spiritually, who's going to do that? It's not my job. If I don't keep myself a spiritual checkup, it's my responsibility. It's your responsibility. We come together and we have the Word of God and read some of His verses, and it's powerful, I think. I think they're powerful. I don't know. Do you think God's Word is powerful? I do. Gives us an alertness, it gives us an attention, it gives us a drawing to say, you know what, Tim, when you're speaking to those people, Tim, you better look at that yourself real close and pay attention to this. Because we are responsible for ourselves to understand what the things of God are for us so that we are effective when we're called upon as the army of God. And if you don't keep yourself built up, drilled up, prepared to go into battle when the battle comes, you're going to be left by the wayside, and then you're going to have to be, oh, let's pray. Try to build the strength. You know, all of these things. But if you continue on a day in and day out basis of being prepared, being ready, allow God to continue to infill you with the things that He has. But that fountain, let's get back real quick here to Psalms 36:9. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. Following Jesus, you will not be in the darkness of this world. The fountain of life gives us a vivid image of a fresh, cleansing water that gives life to those who are spiritually thirsty. We all become spiritually thirsty. You know, it's not a sin to be spiritually thirsty. It's okay. Matter of fact, it's only when we really get thirsty that we desire to draw more of Him. Remember? It's only when I get thirsty in the natural that I desire more water. And when I'm hungry, it's like to desire more nourishment or food. It's these things that I've got to do. So, fountain of life gives us a vivid image of fresh cleansing water that gives life to those who are spiritually thirsty. We came out of Jeremiah 2:13. That's that same similar thought process. Jesus spoke of himself even as what? Living water that would what? Quench the thirst forever and give eternal life. John 4:14. And that's where we'll go next week. We'll start at that particular page, and we'll look at this. And this is, you know, talking here about that, the well. But we'll kind of look into this area here, a little bit of John. That kind of got us through the Old Testament of the water and the well and the cistern and God and what he has and life and things of that nature. And we want to look into that of the New Testament with that of John, but that of Jesus. And many of us have been at that well. I think we've all visited that well. In your life, somewhere, somehow, somewhere along your line, you went to that well. And you said, I just need some worldly water to quench my thirst. And we've done that over and over and over. Until one time we finally heard that of Jesus tell us, Tim, what you're doing, you're going to have to come back and do again. But if you will just realize what I have to quench that thirst, that I will be in you and with you always. And that when you get thirsty again, I will be a continuing flow, a continuing river just flowing in you, that then you will thirst no more. Because we are all spiritually thirsty. But the people that aren't aware of that, they don't know that. They don't know the world out there. They really at times, and maybe they do, maybe they don't, I don't know, but a lot of times they just don't know that they're spiritually thirsty because they're looking at the things of this world to satisfy that urge or that necessity, that drink. So our challenge is to be able to share that with them and to be that example. And we can be a good example. You know, you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to go to a Bible college. You don't have to know the Bible from the front to the back to be a good example of God's love. You just need to be showing that of God's love, and what he's done for me, he will certainly do for you. And he's there for you. And so we can make it very easy for them. And that's what we want to do. We don't want to make it so hard for them to come to that of Christ that they figure like, my gosh, this is going to take too long. We want to introduce them to him, and we want him to take care of the need of cleaning them up and growing in them. We want to avail the tools. We want to avail the encouragement, the prayer, support. But here again, it's a one-on-one with God. Amen? But that's the best way to be with God, is one-on-one, and he'll bring you through in so many areas. So next week, maybe we'll look at this again and kind of open up into that of the well and John. So next week, we won't talk about crackpots here. We'll talk about your well. Are you well? Are you a well? Oh, hallelujah. God is so good. He is so good. Oh, Father, hallelujah. My goodness, the plans. I wonder what he's like up there right now just looking at us. And he's saying, oh, my children, it's only like 3 days into this year. You ought to see what I have planned for you. There are things that I have planned for you that you thought were not attainable. There are things that I've got ready for you that you thought you're not ready for. But I've been with you in the past and helping and growing and developing you for such a time as this. And when that time is right, I will unleash it upon you, or I will fill you with it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just sense him smiling upon us, loving us. Hallelujah. That we can encourage God because he's encouraged us. Hey, God, here I am. I'm ready to start for 2021, Lord. Yeah, Father. Lord, as we come into this new year, thank you, first of all, for having it planned out. I pray that we each and everyone individually measure up in those areas and that we grow in those areas and that we attain those things that you have prepared for us already. And that, Father, I thank you that in those times that we are weak, that you're going to help us gain that strength and that victory to get through those things. And with that, Lord, it'll be that of a testimony and a trial. But then we will come through that and we'll shout to glory and praise to you and share that with those around us of what my God has done for me in this situation. Father God, I thank you for the victories that are already there. I thank you for the strength, the healing, the provision, the hope. Father, any and all of these things that we look for and need, they're already there in 2021. And I would pray, Lord, that you will open our spiritual eyes so that we can see them as we are approaching them. Father, I pray for the light of that of Christ in us to shine ever so bright and to never be dull. And as a matter of fact, Lord, as the year progresses, that this light will not grow dull, but it will grow brighter and brighter and brighter. I thank you, Father, for that right now. In Jesus' name, amen.